In the name of him who is the Lord of every nation, the Lord of every heart, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I would invite you to take your pew Bibles and turn to our text for this evening, a reading from Mark chapter 10. We'll be looking also at the first part of Mark chapter 10, so you may want to turn to that. And the question for this evening, the theme of our worship is, what separates you from God? We pray that nothing would separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But Jesus our Lord knows that there are often many things that separate his loved ones from himself. First, as we look at the first part of Mark chapter 10, we're reminded of the sermon that Pastor preached for us last week. Pastor Myers reminded us that Jesus invited the children to come to him. And when he found out that the disciples were hindering, they were stopping the little ones from coming, Jesus became indignant. He was angry with them because he wanted the children to come to him. And not just children, Jesus desires that nothing separate us from himself. And he invites his people, his children, to come. You may remember, if you were with us last Saturday or last Sunday, that another portion of the text last week was about the Pharisees. Mark chapter 10, the first verses, remind us that Jesus was in Galilee, the southern part of Israel, and that he had crossed over the Jordan River. And when he crossed over, the crowds were coming to him, and among those crowds were some of the Pharisees. If you look at the first part of Mark chapter 10, it says that the Pharisees tested Jesus. They weren't interested in getting his answer on things. They weren't sincere about asking him, Rabbi, teacher, and being able to get his responses. They wanted to put him to the test. And they asked, is it okay to get a divorce? And we were heard last week, we should get a divorce, all of us. Well, a divorce from sin and death and the power of the devil, but not from our spouse. That was not God's intention or will. Tonight, as we continue looking at Mark chapter 10, we see another man who was part of the crowd. Not one of the Pharisees, but a man who came to Jesus with a question. Everything I can see from the text tells us that this man was sincere. He was an honest man. He was a seeker. He's a follower of God. He desired earnestly to know God, to know God's will, to live for God, to live in ways that pleased and served God. And so Jesus, the rabbi, was the one to whom the man came. And he said to him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit the gift of eternal life? Well, the first bit of an aside was where Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. What the man who had the question didn't know is how right he really was. He said, good teacher, good rabbi. And Jesus said, only God is good. The man actually was right, more right than he even knew. Jesus is good because Jesus is God. He was the one to come to ask a question of. He was the one who would know the answer perfectly and rightly. The man said to him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What would serve and please God? What is it that God expects of me? Jesus' first reply was, well, I think what you should do is to keep the commandments. And then one after the other, starting with the fifth commandment, our text says, Jesus said to him, you shall not murder, the fifth commandment. You shall not commit adultery, the sixth commandment. You shall not steal, the seventh commandment. You shall not bear false witness, the eighth commandment. You shall not defraud or wickedly want, the ninth and tenth commandments. And then Jesus circles back to the fourth commandment, and says, you shall honor your father and your mother. What Jesus actually did was to point the man to the second table of the law. We often divide the commandments into the two tables. In the first table of the law, and these commandments are divided a little differently than we typically do, but on the left side, the first table of the law, are the table of the law that deal with our relationship with God. And the second table of the law, those on the right, are those commandments 4 through 10 that deal with our relationship with our fellow human beings, with our fellow men. When Jesus talked to the man, he said everything on the right-hand side, the second table of the law. And the young man said to him, "Teacher, Rabbi, good Rabbi, all of these I've done since I was a boy." We might say it this way: "Jesus, I've kept those commandments since I was a kid, since I was a little one." What's interesting in the text is that Jesus doesn't correct the man. He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't tell him how wrong he is and give a long list of the ways that he's broken all of those commandments. Because, I guess, the man did keep those commandments at least pretty well. None of us can keep them perfectly, not even that man. But Jesus knew that there was something more important to talk with him about, more important than commandments 4 through 10. Not that these are unimportant, but they weren't the main problem. They weren't the thing that was separating this man from his relationship with God. What the text tells us is that Jesus looked at the man. Maybe a way to say that is Jesus looked into the man. Jesus looked virtually through the man in his mind, his soul, and his heart. And he knew the man's real concern. You see, what Jesus said to him is, "I want you to go and sell everything you have and give what you make from that sale to God. Use it in his service by serving the poor." The emphasis on these last table of the law, the second table of the law, was not the most important thing for this particular man. What Jesus knew as he looked into the man's heart and soul was that his wealth, and our text tells us he was a very wealthy man, his wealth had become an idol to him. His wealth had become that thing that separated him from God. He couldn't see God as clearly as God wanted him to see him because his stuff got in the way. That's why Jesus identified this man's greatest concern, his greatest sin. And he said to him, "Your trouble is not keeping the second table of the law, your relationship with your fellow man, but your greatest concern, your greatest need, is keeping the first table of the law, your relationship with God. You're not the one God intends you to be, because you see you're allowing something, your wealth, to become your God. The commandment tells us that we should have no other gods before him, that we shouldn't fear, love, or trust in anything more than God." And that was this man's greatest concern. So Jesus, knowing his greatest need, Jesus loved the man. When he looked at him, he didn't condemn him. He didn't scold him. He loved the man. I believe he knew that the man was sincere. He was honorable and honest. He wanted to serve God. And so Jesus said, "Even though it's the hardest thing you can imagine in the world, I want you to cut it off. I want you to put it away from you, whatever it is that separates you from God." And in this man's case, he said, "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Then come and follow me. Then there will be nothing that interferes with you seeing me and following me the way I want." You know, this text, I don't think, is so much about worldly possessions. For this man's sake, it was about worldly possessions. But the question for you and me is, what is it that separates you and me from God? It's not a text that tells us that there's something wrong with earthly blessings. It's a text that helps us to identify with precision what this man's greatest concern was, God's great love for him, and God's desire that whatever it was that would separate him from God would be dealt with in a way that he would no longer be separated from God. Sometimes the most dangerous thing that a preacher can do is ask the congregation, especially on a Saturday night, to close their eyes. Let me ask this question first before you do. What is it that separates you from God? Now close your eyes. Close your eyes and imagine that Jesus is here. You don't have to imagine that. Jesus is here. But imagine Jesus is talking just to you now. Jesus is looking at you, and he looks at you with the greatest love you can imagine. And as Jesus looks at you, he whispers into your ear, "What is it that separates you from me?" How would you answer? Is it your fears and your worries and your concerns that separate you from God? Is it a pet sin that you hold on to? It's been with you. You've nurtured it. Nobody else knows what it is, but you know. You know that it doesn't please God, and you know that it separates you from him. Is it something about your work that separates you from him? Is it one of the greatest blessings he gives, your family or loved ones or friends? Do they somehow separate you from God? Or like the young man in our text today, is it your stuff? Is it the wealth that you have, all that God has blessed you with? Is it these things that separate you from him? Open your eyes. Jesus is talking to you and me tonight. Jesus loves you so very much, and with great precision and great accuracy, he looks into your heart and mind and soul. As he looks to you, he looks into you and me and through us, and he knows our greatest need. And he calls us to come to him, to bring to him whatever it is that separates us from himself, and he calls us to give it to him. He came and he died for you. Jesus took upon himself, upon the cross, whatever it is that separates you from him. And as he died and rose again, he separates us from that thing that separates us from God, so that we could live with him forevermore. Jesus took it upon himself. Jesus takes it from you so that you would never be separated from him. Like this man in our text, it may seem like the hardest thing in the world to give it up because it possesses us and it's been so close to us. But Jesus whispers to you tonight, "I love you. I love you to death. I love you more than this thing that separates you from me, and I want to take it from you so that you'll be with me now and forevermore." God's word gives us that hope and that assurance. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Can anything in the whole world separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus?" And his answer in Romans chapter 8 is, "Absolutely not, because God loves you too much." Jesus reaches out to you and he says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. It's the best news in the whole world, and it's news for you and me. Hear Jesus calling to you tonight. Hear Jesus saying, I love you. Give it over to me, whatever separates you from me, so that nothing can separate us because of my love for you in Christ Jesus. Know it, relish it, live in it, and share it too. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who will never let us be separated from him because of his love for us. For Jesus' sake, amen.